Welcome back to Time for Nach. We have gone from the love song, the poem, so to speak, that is Shir HaShirim, all the way down to Eicha. Eicha was written by Yirmiah, if you remember, all the way back. We learned in Malachim. And the word Eicha, in fact, is an acronym, a shortened version of the words Ani Yirmiah HaKayan Anatosi from Anasos, or Anatot. This is Eicha, it's a lamentation. If you remember the history of it, it was that Yirmiah had a scroll ordered to be written. It was then thrown into, it was read publicly, and then it was thrown away. The king disposed of it. The king didn't want to hear destruction. That became Eicha. Another paragraph was actually added. That became Eicha. It's a prophetic poem. It's a prophetic almost eulogy about the Beis HaMikdash. The first three prakim are talking about the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The fourth parak talks about the death of King Yoshia. We're going to talk about as well that there is also a second parak which talks about Yerushalayim in general. We've got in the third parak Yirmiah's personal anguish, calls for repentance. And the fourth again is anger inflicted on Yerushalayim. And the fifth is the remnants scattered over. Remnants of Klal Yisrael just scattered and a request for repentance and redemption. You've got a note over here, that we've got the Aleph Beis structure back, the Prakim of the Aleph Beis structure, the 22 Psukim, apart from the third Perek, which has more than 22 Psukim because it repeats the Aleph Beis structure three times. There are seven sequences all in all, which is corresponding to the Pasukim Vayikra, Chaf Vav Yud Ches, which is that I'm going to punish you seven times and Bechukosai for your sins. Eicha, if you remember, was burned. If you remember the thing, you know, as we said before, it was burned by Yehoyakim. Have a look at Yirmiah, Perek Lamed Vav. Have a look at Rashi and Eicha right at the beginning. Why Aleph Beis? It's interesting. We're used to happy things starting with Aleph Beis, Ashrei and the like. Here is also an Aleph Beis. It's an Aleph Beis in terms of this is what Hashem wanted at the time. This is the structure of the world. This is what Hashem wants. Don't think it's random. Eicha is very sad. It's very serious. It's Eicha. It's Eicha, and it's very important. It's a very core part of our Megillus. Of course, we read it on Tisha B'Av. Let's start the first parak, and let's understand what Eicha really is, to be honest. Eicha is saying what? How could this happen? And the truth is, the first response to any tragedy has to be how? How could this happen? What were the causes of it? But more than that, even if you can't change something, just an admission that this is not right, this is not how things should be, that itself is very powerful. Eicha is, you know, how could this be? How can it be? Eicha. Yirmiah in Perek Aleph talks about the holy city Yerushalayim. There's no splendor anymore. It's in ruins. You know, the inhabitants of Yerushalayim were the greatest among the nations. Now we're exiled without residence. Again, it's very important. This was written in prophecy, as it wasn't written reflecting back at what happened already. Yehuda was forsaken by their allies, and they rejoiced in their downfall. Yehuda was reprimanded for exploiting the poor, would undergo golus. The glory of Shalom has disappeared. We're mourning, the enemies are enjoying tranquility and domination. The truth is there could be some elements of this world that already have happened. In other words, golus certainly of Yehuda hadn't yet happened when Yirmiah wrote this, but Yerushalayim losing its splendor, yeah. Potential at that, possibly, or that could have happened already. If you remember, even before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shekhinah had left, the Gemara says, it was ground wheat that was already ground. And there was a famine. Klal Yisrael would offer treasures for the enemy for just a loaf of bread. Yirmiah says that our pain is incomparable to any other. You know, Hashem is actively involved in our decimation, our degradation in Golus, and he handed us over to the other nations. He ends the Perek, or he heads towards the end of the Perek with the words of King Yoshia. It says, Hashem is righteous. I rebelled against his mouth. The Medrash said is from King Yoshia. And he wishes Klal Yisrael's enemies endure the same suffering as us. And it's a very, very heart-wrenching Perek. There is one element of Nechama almost, and that is the Kari Alai Mayat in the Pasuk Tezvav, we're told that Tisha B'Av is a Mayat. Unbelievable. And in fact, halachically, it is a Mayat. We don't say Tachanun. It's interesting. What is a moed? Well, why should Tisha be a moed? A moed is happy, no? The answer is moed just means a meeting. And as you can meet with someone with joy, you can meet with someone through mourning. There's a certain element of Tisha B'Av, which is closeness through sadness, closeness through mourning, closeness saying that Hashem is with us in pain, you know, realizing what we need to either fix, what we need to lament, mourn over. It re-emphasizes what our priorities should be. That is the first barak.